This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Cohen now has to go all the different layers before he gets officially approved as owner. The ownership committee approved him. A vote of 7-1 of the 8. Now another 8 owner committee, the executive committee, now has to approve. And then after that, it's the full ownership group. I mean, they really make you go through hoops here. I mean, do you need all these different committees first?
I got billions. Why you just don't take my money, man? Who else you going to get it from? Who else got 2.1 billion? Who else got it?
Yeah, exactly. Do you see how much he's worth? It's amazing. I saw the tweets, too, and I looked it up. The Reinsdorf thing's a very interesting connection, too, that he doesn't really like Cohen, doesn't want him to be part of this thing. But, Jerry, I'm sorry.
But this is a crazy thing, right?
That you're not going to be able to.
It's like Cohen showing up, and he's writing one check. It's like if A-Rod come, he'd be like, all right, man, hold on. I want to put some on this credit card. I want to put some on this one. Yeah. You know, like, yo, man, this dude paying it out straight cash, homie. Ain't no financing.
Oh, man. All right, we'll get to the calls in a minute, but I do want to touch on something NBA-wise that I know is triggering a lot of people because, you know, we've been talking about it, and you won't get to – so the draft is still not a couple of weeks away in November, and then once the draft happens
– I can't wait to hear you break the draft.
You start getting into – I've been watching film. I had the baseball game on in the background watching film, watching Kyra Lewis, by the way, this kid from Alabama. It's a nice player.
It's like watching Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Some genius in there, you know what I'm saying?
I see things that other people don't see.
Charlie Babbitt's my brother.
I see bad shooting form. No, but Kyrie's actually a nice player. I just wonder, we'll worry about that another time. This is a bigger story, though. So this came out yesterday, and I've been hearing about this as we talked about Russell Westbrook, because once Daryl Morey left Houston,
yeah,
the initial reaction was, all right, Tillman Fertitta, the owner there, they've lost tons of money. Everybody in the league's lost a lot of money. And maybe they're just going to go through a reset. You know, why would Daryl leave? Well, maybe he's thinking, all right, they're not going to spend, you know, the money or whatever it is, right? So the point is this. You have a situation where immediately a superstar like Russell Westbrook could be available. And I've always said, if you're the Knicks, you look at everything because you lack talent. You need talent. So Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, was on CNBC, and he was asked directly about, all right, what happens now next for your franchise? Are you going to blow this whole thing up?
Anytime you have players like that, Eric, PJ, James, and Russell, there's no reason to blow up your roster. And this is still our window. The next couple of years, James and Russell are in their early 30s, and we're not blowing up anything. And we plan on contending.
I just want him to say punch COVID in the face because he just has that voice.
Can you get Joel Embiid?
No, they're not. No, they don't want bigs. They're playing super small.
See, but he's
now
a different type of
who
big.
They hire as coach is going to be interesting, of course.
Yeah,
but him saying that they're not blowing it up, that him naming Russ and how he feels like you keep this group together, and you know that Harden and Russell Westbrook are friends. They are close. Even though on the court, like it's oil and water. It just doesn't work.
Because he can't shoot.
But doesn't mean that you can't make it work.
I just want to
give it
chance,
more time.
Man.
Remember, they didn't really have a full season. Then they went into the bubble, and they really weren't ready. Like, you could make all the excuses you want, and maybe they need a different coach. We'll see. But I don't care about that because it's the Rockets and they don't affect me. What affects me is it's another player that I know a lot of Knicks fans out there were like, you can't make a trade for him. You don't even know what you'd have to give up for him. You have no idea. You might be able to get him if they were looking to dump that salary for pennies on the dollar. You have no idea. Give up a player, a young player that you're not going to be using anyway going forward.
Julius
Give
Randall.
Up a draft pick that's like 27th that you're not going to use anyway. Like, and you get a guy in here that changes your culture immediately, and you have a top 10 player on your roster. Even though it's a huge contract, what are you going to do with that cap space anyway? But still, him saying this now, the Knicks are out of that game. You can't even discuss it now. They're not blowing it up. Westbrook off the table. We don't talk about it anymore. But Bart, what was the other option for the Knicks if they want to help advance the cause?
CP3Z, and that would have brought Carmelo Anthony.
Chris Paul, who obviously has a relationship with Leon Rose, CAA. And always, by the way, connect that dots. You look for players and you see who's got the CAA background, and that's usually how it works.
Devin Booker?
So,
yeah.
Chris Paul was also a player that you think if the Thunder want to, you know, do the same thing, move on from a salary, change things up. Remember, they also had a coach leave, and Billy Donovan, he left. And so maybe they're looking to hit the reset button, right? Gallo is going to be a free agent, so he won't be there either. And so would they look to trade Chris Paul? And it's like, well, now the Knicks have to get involved in that. Well, guess what I'm hearing? I'm hearing Chris Paul would prefer, and it makes total sense, would prefer a move back to L.A. Now, the Lakers probably don't have anything to offer the Thunder to make that happen, but he'd love to play with LeBron because they're very close. But the Clippers are still an option for him to go home to because Steve Ballmer, the owner, loves him.
Yeah.
And Doc Rivers is no longer there.
And they need an alpha.
And Kawhi Leonard has been telling everybody that as much as they like Patrick Beverley because of his toughness and his defense, that's not the kind of guard they need.
Yeah.
They need somebody that can organize.
Yeah,
they need an alpha leader. They need somebody because that team, Paul George not a leader. Kawhi's not a leader, does his own thing.
Yeah.
They need somebody that sort of is that galvanizer.
Was it Patrick Beverley that was coming out with the reports that they didn't like the preferential treatment?
Yeah, I don't know if that was PBEV, but some people might be nodding that way.
He's Kawhi. This dude's on a load management. He got a degenerative knee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody's treated the same, bro.
So,
newsflash.
With that in mind, Bart, I'm led to believe that the any thought of the Knicks trading for Chris Paul is out the window, mainly because, think about it, we always looked at it from a Knicks perspective. Oh, it makes sense. Give up something. Give up this. You get a guy that can be a leader and help your young players. But now that I look at it, now that I understand a little bit better and what I've been told, his family, by the way, some people know this, some people don't. While he was in Oklahoma City and also Houston, his family stayed in L.A., You know, he's got his son. He's got his family. They stayed in L.A. He didn't want to disrupt them. And the Thunder, for one, would let him regularly fly home and spend time at home when they had a break between games and stuff. They would always let him just go. They gave him that freedom. You know, obviously Oklahoma City to L.A. is not that terrible of a flight. But so, asking him to come to New York, would he move his whole family to New York for basically what's left on his contract is 2 years? I'm not sure, from what I understand, that that's something Chris Paul is motivated to do, especially knowing that the Knicks are not going to be a contender for 2 years. If it's an option to go to L.A. and play for either the Clippers or the Lakers, be home, and two teams that are contending, that is far more appealing to him. And therefore, if you're the Thunder, you won't send him where he doesn't want to go. And if I'm and Leon knows him well, obviously, you're not trading for him if he's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go there, guys. All right, well, then we're not going to trade for you.
But he might.
So that option's off the table.
Yeah.
So guess what now is left for the Knicks to do? And don't tell me Victor Oladipo. They're not in a place for a guy like him.
Matt Singer.
Yeah. They're not in a place for a guy like Victor Oladipo.
That's funny.
So this leads me to believe. That's my point. Now we're going to start. Now we can start going down the list of somebody, anybody. No.
Van Fleet?
Bart, I believe the Knicks will have a very quiet offseason. It's going to be a very uncertain, very long offseason. We don't know when they're going to play. They might not play till March. And with that in mind, because there's a lot of uncertainty for next season, the Knicks lost the second most amount of money off last year. Because they didn't finish the season. So they lost a ton of money. That I have a strange feeling that you will not see a lot of activity with this roster. That they will almost wait through one more year,
man,
and then go into 21 with a ton of cap space, another high pick, and then maybe make their move then.
Let's get Giannis. Now we're going to hear. Now we got to listen to that. If Giannis don't sign an extension, now we got to listen to that.
Well, it's not just Giannis. There's a lot of other big names that are going to be on the market.
Yeah, this is going to be a bad year for free agents. It's not going to be a lot.
So this offseason, and I'm telling you, I don't think a lot of teams are going to spend money. Now, one more thing, and then we'll get to calls. Another name that fans keep throwing at me that rumors are always brought up with as well is, well, Fred Van Vliet is a free agent, and the Knicks should go all in on Fred Van Vliet. He's 26-year-old. He was an undrafted free agent.
And he's going to spend top
He dollars. Became a star in Toronto. Kyle Lowry is 35. Masai Ujiri has already said that he is that Fred Van Vliet is high priority for them. High priority. You think that he's going to pass on a deal to stay in Toronto where he is already a star and beloved to come to a rebuild in New York?
You got a championship, though. Sometimes when you got a championship, it's more about lifestyle.
You'd have to know the kid. You'd have to know the kid. He's not about that. He's a different kind of guy. This is not somebody that's looking for stardom and fame and fortune and all. I think he's looking for what's best for him and his family, and Toronto's what's best for him and his family.
Well, what's best for his family is going to be not to have to pay that Canadian tax, because this is killer. That's why Bosch and Vince Carter was like, get me the hell up out of here, man. They take 50 off the rip before they even take the rest of the taxes. I'm like, oh, hell no.
All right, let's go some rapid fire calls here. 800-919-3776. I just emptied my notebook for you on the Knicks stuff, the latest stuff that I've heard about what's going on with them. And I'm telling you right now, Russ Westbrook, some of you hated it, some of you thought it was great. Just the idea of just kicking tires on it, that's off the table. Chris Paul, that might be off the table too. After those two names, there's not a lot that you could do trade-wise that would be impactful for this team, at least not right now, until maybe another player says, I want out of here. Donovan Mitchell. Maybe somebody else says, I want out of my situation. Come trade for me right now. Donovan Mitchell. So we'll see. But right now, this could be a very, very quiet offseason for the Knicks. All right, let's take some calls, Bart.
Let's do that. Man, we got a nice little buffet, too.
Yeah, Dante in Queens. Right, we're going around the world of sports. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for accepting my call. As regards to the Knicks and CP3, the thing about it, I know he's a future Hall of Famer, but that's actually good news, because as many Knicks fans who would want him here, you'll be sick to your stomach paying him $40 million plus a year to be sitting on the bench in a suit. Second, as far as free agency and trades go, the Knicks, this forces them to develop their own players. Develop your own stars so you don't have to overpay for other people's stars.
And they just brought in two coaches. Dante, they just brought in two coaches, and that's their specialty. You know, there's two coaches they brought in. That's absolutely their specialty. And so that, and I think they're going to have to focus
Utah,
on it.
Right?
Yeah, the kid obviously the guy from you. I think is it Johnny Bryant? I got to get the name right. Johnny Bryant and Kenny Payne from Kentucky. Like, that's their expertise. Look, you've got it. You've got some assets that are just, you know, Frank and Kevin. Like, there's certain players on this team that you drafted extremely high that have zero value right now. You've got to make them better. So whether they become part of your future or you're going to trade them, one way or another, you got to make them better. Dante, thanks for the call. Like, I think you're right. They're going to be forced to deal with what they have in house and make the most of it. Let's take Joe in Holmdel. Joe.
Hey guys. Hey Alan. Hey Bart. Guys, just a quick thought. I think the NFL should change their draft format a little bit. I think they should move more towards like what the NBA does. I don't think you should reward these teams for finishing. Well, I'll tell you why, Bart.
I don't think he's wrong, Bart. I don't think Joe's wrong at all.
I'll tell you why. It creates there's just too many bad teams towards the end of the year, and they just quit playing. And Bart, you know this. I've heard it before. Players, you know, you go 0-5, 0-6. Then you got 10 more games left. You're cashing it in.
Ship the cars home.
And exactly. So I think, just from a, you know, forget sportsmanship. These guys are getting paid, but you know they're not going to play hard because they get hurt, and I get it. But there should be no guarantee that you're fighting for the number one pick. In fact, I think it's dangerous as a franchise. I've been a Jet fan my whole life, and I was alive for their first Super Bowl. So this team perpetually underachieves, and then we're talking about this team almost every year, it seems, after week 5 or 6, about, are we going to get the number one pick, right? There's no guarantee that number one pick does anything anyway, right? Russell Wilson was third round.
But it gives you a better chance.
I'm with Joe, though. I do think what happened, and you know what else I don't like, and thanks for the call, Joe. You know what else I don't like, though, about this part? Is that when you have a draft like this where there's a guy at the very top and everybody wants him, December turns into games that are important to some teams, and you're playing a garbage team that is basically they don't want to win.
That's in basketball too, when they
it's not good for basketball, when they low manage, but
I'd much rather have the NFL system than have the NBA system, because this is a quicker way for a bad organization to change it. Do you not think that Cincinnati Bengals are in better position now, the fact that they got Joe Burrow and he looks like a real player, opposed if Joe Burrow would have went to Indianapolis, and the Indianapolis just continues to be a good team that always has the best a great transition quarterback?
again, it forces you. I've always said this about the look. I feel like the draft itself, the idea of a lottery, is antiquated. I do think there's got to be an. You have to treat your draft like it's free agency, where everybody gets the same amount of money to spend, and you can spend it any way you want. You can spend it on one player, two players, whatever it is. That, I really feel like that's how it should be, and you then have to present yourself as a franchise that is attractive instead of forcing guys to go to certain places where they shouldn't go because they'll be miserable. Maybe they'll never develop.
See,
Josh Rosen is a great example of somebody that he should have never gone to Arizona.
But
like, what a terrible place for him to go.
But it would have
they
been.
They gave up on him in a year, and now he's bouncing around. Like there's certain,
but
there's
that
certain
was
players.
Of the change of leadership, though. If they could have won with him if they never won. I thought he actually had a decent first year. I thought he was right on path if they would have just stayed the course. But because the ownership wanted to had an infatuation with Kingsbury, you know, that's what changed the course of what they did. I think.
But
it
maybe he would have seen that in his interview with Arizona and said, you know, I don't know if I think there's not a lot of stability here. I want to go where the system's better for me. I could learn. I think you get more out of young players.
So now we're about to start allowing these players to pick, which they don't even know because you don't know how long that the coaches are even going to be around. You know, I mean, I just believe that, you know, the system is not perfect, but no system is. But I think it's the best way because that's why I believe the NFL has the greatest parity in the league, right? We talk about, okay, we can always say New England's going to
be
there.
We
can say the Saints are going to be there. No, people spill bad money on caps too. People buy bad players. Just look at the Jets. I hate to have to use them as another example. Le'Veon Bell, think about what they did with bringing in Henry Anderson. You know, it's a lot of bad money that was spent there too. So it's not just like just because people, you know, have money don't give them the great ability to be a great decision maker. I just think that it's the best way because it's the quickest way. Just think about all the bad franchises that aren't bad anymore. We talk about the first overall pick, right? The thing is, if you really want it enough and you have so much conviction in this player, you got enough trade packages to be able to get the player if you want. So I think, you know, if you really believe in a player and you're willing to give up two first round draft picks, like if Jacksonville really believes in Trevor Lawrence.
I just feel
so
like
you can,
Bart,
it could be a weapon too.
Bart, I get what you're saying. I hate rewarding failure, and that's what the draft does. It used to be the draft protects the weaker teams, helps them get talent,
and the smaller market teams.
But it's
too.
Nah. It's become your reward. Bad management. That's what you do. Save me. I can't figure it out. I want to read a tweet for you though, Bart. You ready for this? So before Mets, is it B? Yeah, it's B4. Before Mets _ Yankees says, why do we need nicknames? Because it's fun. And this is America. He said, I propose the Washington NFL, the Washington team, should be the team formerly known as the Redskins. See, I don't think the whole idea was
little Prince action right there. Little Prince action right there.
Yeah, he put up the symbol also, the Prince symbol with the Redskins logo in there. So clearly he's put this together. But I mean, the whole idea was to keep Redskins out of it. Right, that's the whole idea, is to no longer reference that. So I just feel like the nickname thing is like we overthink that. I mean, Seattle Kraken is the new NHL team, and that sounds cool because it's Kraken, and it's just fun to say Kraken. You know, and there's all kinds of stuff they can do there in Seattle. Release the Kraken, and they all come out, you know, that kind of thing. But in the end, I mean, does it really matter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially, like, it's worse
like
to
Minnesota
ask.
Twins. What the hell is that? I know, Twin City. You don't have to explain it to me. I know what it means, right? It's Minneapolis, St. Paul. I get it. Twin Cities. But
you know,
just Twins? Like,
you know,
that's what we're going with the Twins. There's nothing tough about that.
You know,
who are we playing today? We're playing the Twins.
You know what I wish? I wish we can make their nicknames things that they inspire to be.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like the Mets winners. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
That's funny.
You can never, that can't be
that,
the nickname.
That way almost, if they don't live up to it, you get teased with it.
Like the one thing it's in European soccer is that the fans have nicknames for their teams. You know what I mean? Like they just have their own, it's sort of like the term of endearment for their team. So you call them something. I mean, I just think, you know, the Brooklyn Dodgers with Dem Bums forever. So it'd be hilarious if it was just like Brooklyn baseball team and like their fans just called them Dem Bums.
Dem Bums.
And it just, and when they were great, you'd still say it because it would be funnier. It'd be ironic.
Yeah, how about Dem Bums now?
Dem Bums, baby. Like, right? That's what it's like. What is it? Is it New Orleans? They say Who Dat, right?
Yeah.
Do you need to be the Saints? Just Who Dat?
You know, one thing I never understood, I don't understand the history.
Do we really need nicknames? Come on, be honest.
They
don't need nicknames.
They got the Who Dat, and then the Bengals use that Who Dat. So I'm like, who owns who dat?
Good question.
I don't get it.
Who did the song Who Dat? Was that J. Cole? Somebody did a song called Who Dat.
I don't know.
But I don't think it had anything to do with New Orleans. Anyways.
Yeah, that's who that said he gonna get.
Let me take Dennis in Huntington real quick.
Who that is?
Oh, no. Dennis.
What's going on, guys? If we're talking about nicknames, I got one for the Washington team. The Washington Dumpsters, and their logo would just be a dumpster on fire on their helmet. I think
people would say
great,
that.
Great.
People say the Jets could be that too, though. That's the problem.
Well, let's not they let the Giants off the hook, man. They got one win, and they like understanding one game out of first place. But come on, man.
here's the crazy thing to do. Before I've told the story many times. Before the Jets were called the Jets, right? Leon Hess did all that stuff. They were the Titans.
Yeah.
Do you know why they chose Titans as the nickname?
No.
Because in mythology, Titans killed giants.
Ah, man, that's some
talk
envy.
About the ultimate envy. Little
that's
brother syndrome
envy.
Thing.
That's some envy.
I mean, it's you started out that way. You were born into it. You know what I'm saying? All right, we'll get back to calls, but let's go with audiophiles.
The audiophile.
All right, let's see. We begin with, we mentioned this again, Mike McCarthy under fire, or the coaching staff really in Dallas under fire from players, anonymous players, of course, speaking out, saying that there's no teaching going on, coaches aren't prepared, they're not able to change the game plan, all that stuff. A lot of criticism happening with the 2-4 Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy in his first year. Here's McCarthy responding to anonymous players.
And I just really go back to my first meeting with the football team. I've always stated this to every team that I've coached. I think it's important to handle things as men. I mean, if you do have something to say publicly that is of most importance, I think it's important to say it to the individual, particularly in a group dynamic setting, and especially in the game of football, especially for the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah, say it with your chest. Be a man about it. That just lets you know it's an indication that you got a lot of people hiding behind their reporter friends that they dump stories to, so when they play bad, they can try and keep them in town because they won't write bad stories about them.
That's a bad situation happening down there right now. The offense, though,
they're still in first place.
Best in the league. Yeah, right.
That's the thing. They're still in first place, and they're panicking
tomorrow,
now.
We'll talk more about tomorrow, but how big is tomorrow's game for the Eagles? Eagles-Giants Thursday night. It's a huge game for the Eagles.
I think the Eagles are the best team in the division.
I agree.
Football
Power Index says that they have the best chance percentage-wise
to
win the division.
To win six games.
In six games, would win the division.
Man, six games, man. There's no way I'm showing up as the visiting team.
Ooh,
listen, you won the division, bring your ass down here. We ain't
exactly.
getting on the airplane.
We are not going to your building when you won the damn six games. And we got to do what the Saints did with Seattle 10 years ago. All right, next up. Didn't get your take on this. This happened yesterday during the show that the Miami Dolphins decided to go with Tua Tagovailoa now as their quarterback for the rest of the season coming out of the bye. They figure this is the right time, and Brian Flores explained.
We just feel like, this was the best move for our team right now. And Fitz has done a great job. He's been productive. His leadership's been great. It's not an easy decision, for me or us as an organization, but we felt like, for the team now, moving forward, this is the move we needed to make.
You agree with that? That this is the time
to do
this at 3-3, though, in a division that is sort of there right now for the taking, and they have played well.
Yeah, and the Jets were more like the 7-9 team that they showed last year than what they were this year.
Okay.
Like, come on, man. It's it's fool's gold, right? You talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick and what he is. You know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's a placeholder, and it's time for the young man to come take his place. We watching Herbert. We watching, Burrow do their thing, not trying to see what we got, because we thought that we got the best one, because if it wasn't for the injury, he would have been picked number one overall, not Joe Burrow. So let's just say, like, you want to talk about Fitzmagic and Fitztragic. You know that train's never late. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. How did he look against the Patriots? Oh,
yeah, it shows
bump
up.
Salad. How did he look against Buffalo? Not great. How did he? Okay. He shined against Jacksonville. Well, congratulations. Got his ass kicked against the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, go down there and you go to San Francisco and you beat Jimmy G, who couldn't hit the side of a barn last week. Okay, and then you beat the Jets. You think that's a strong, powerful 3-3? Nah, it's time to get the young guy in there, because guess what? This is a 5-year plan. We're in year 2. We already stripped the roster down. We brought in players that which I can trust. He brought in Van Noy, all the players that he thought that he needed to be, you know, his allies in the locker room. Now it's time to take this kid and get him some experience. So then next year we can try and be a playoff team. But if we stick with Fitzmagic or Fitztragic, then you're just stunning the growth of the kid, which is holding the franchise back by 8 games. We know we're not going anywhere. We know we're not legitimate. We know this record is a fluffed up record, and we know that the cream is going to rise to the top in the middle of November. And we know when the cream rises to the top, they ain't going to be there. Because guess what? You know, this opportunity to get the young kid to go able to play Denver, the Chargers, another young rookie quarterback. Rams. The Rams, yeah, but you know, I'm talking about the sorry teams that they're going to play. They're going to play the Jets
are in that,
and they're going to play Cincinnati. But at the end of that, now you want to see if this kid is battle tested, because now he can get experience for those 4 games, and then ending up the season, he got to see Kansas City, he got to see New England, he got to see the Raiders, and he got to see Buffalo. Yeah. That's when you get a little grit. This is when, you know, the book is out on him, and people have 5 games to break down, and they start learning your tendencies. And he's going to learn about what he has to work on in the next season. But he's going to be hungry, because he's going to have some success, and then they're going to figure him out. He's going to struggle, and it's going to make him hungry. You're going to see what this kid is made out of, and then you can make your move next year.
Yeah, I think it's exactly the right thing to do. You get him. He didn't have a preseason, so you get him those first couple of weeks as the backup, learning how to prepare for a game, watching a veteran like Ryan Fitzpatrick prepare.
It's been 1 year to the day, Alan, since when he got hurt.
Yeah, understand. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point, too. It gave him the full year. All right, up next here. This was a headline that we all caught. An NFL star is advising Trevor Lawrence to stay away from the Jets. That NFL star, Bart, turned out to be Roddy White, and this is from the Big Lead.
If the Jets get the first pick, don't go. Just stay. Just stay one more year in college and just enjoy your time, man. Just enjoy your time in college, because it would be awful for you to get drafted by the Jets, because they do not know how to put anything together over there as far as quarterbacking, as far as weapons around the quarterback, as far as anything that has to do with offensive thing, talent. They can draft defensively, and they do a hell of a job on that side of the ball. As far as offense, man, that team is just bad at picking players.
Okay, so a couple of things. First, Roddy White, NFL star, or ex-NFL star, question mark. And the other thing is that he's not the headline. He's not quite advising him. He's offering his advice.
Right.
Your thoughts on this advice?
Well, it's a clickbait. First of all, let's take your organization. Will you be better off going to your organization? You ain't win nothing either. Last I checked, you're having just a disappointing season, if not a bigger disappointing season as the Jets. Secondly, how do you know? At what point does that change? I remember where going to New Orleans wasn't a great place to go, but they found a head coach. And if you believe in Joe Douglas, then or you talk to people and you believe in Joe Douglas, then you absolutely do that. It's figuring out that he's gonna get it right. He got tons of money. He may get you a brand new coach. How about go back and end up like Tua and get injured and then get hurt and then see what happens? And the thing is, you're not built like Tua. You're a much longer, taller player. So a knee injury or a hip injury is gonna be worse on you. You know, because like a knee injury on a giraffe opposed to a gazelle. Gazelle gonna heal a little better. Trevor Lawrence 6'6". You know what I'm saying? So what are you talking about? So you better go get your money where you can get it. And it's always a privilege to be able to play in this league, no matter what Roddy White want to tell you. You know what I'm saying? Coming here is not the worst place. It's not the kiss of death. They'll figure it out. This is a team that's had some success, not as much success as they were wanting in the last 10 years. But listen, I'm not turning up an opportunity to be at a Big Apple and be that dude.
Well, no, that's true. He could be a huge star. I just feel like this. You do want to see who becomes the coach. Because I have to feel
they
like
they got money and draft picks, Alan. They can change.
I know, but I got to know who the coach is, because again, if I'm Lawrence and I'm his family and I'm looking at what's going on there, I got it. Like, who's the coach?
All right, go to Jacksonville. Go to Jacksonville. Who's going to be the coach there?
Well, Doug Marrone might not be.
Right, him and his baloney sandwich.
Wouldn't it be something if Doug Marrone all these years later becomes the Jets coach when he should have been all along? Anyways, moving on. Last thing. Speaking of the Jets, by the way. Take a listen to this. Here's Joe Namath, the greatest of all great Jets quarterbacks, on the Jake Asman show. And he was asked what the Jets should do if they do get the number one pick. And here's Broadway Joe.
I don't know what they're going to do. Could maybe get other draft choices. Do they still believe in Sam? I don't look at the video of the games and replays the way the coaches do, so they'll make that decision. It'd be hard to pass on Lawrence, I tell you. He's just a marvelous player and has been the last few years. Everything about him is his passing ability, his movement, his habit of winning. He's a monster. Whoever is going to have a chance to get him will probably take him. First of all, if it did end up being our guys, our team, Joe Douglas, who's there now, they'll make that decision because there's a lot of teams. There's 31 other teams out there, and Sam Darnold can play for several of them. So he may be somewhere else starting if that scenario did unfold.
See, Joe, you're lucky they don't have home games. Because if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm telling my receivers to go deep. And while you're on the sideline waving in the pregame, I'm hitting the chest with the football.
Yeah, but you understand.
I understand what he's saying.
He's keeping it real. Yeah, he is. But Bart, honestly, we're acting like this is an easy decision. This is not an easy decision.
It is a franchise-altering decision.
And I still say the first thing I need to know is what's the best I can get for that pick. Mm. Because
What if it's RG3? What if it's four picks? What if it's Jacksonville's ones, two number twos, a number three, a number four?
It needs to be overwhelming to a point where I know, okay, if I get all that in return, I can rebuild this entire roster and we can turn this thing around pretty quickly. This has got to be that Jimmy Johnson, Herschel Walker kind of thing. It's got to be something like that where I now build my dynasty off of the return I got. Because if not, it ain't worth it.
You're going to get at least two first-round draft picks, man. That's just
standard. But is that enough?
Is that enough
for me to give up a guy that could be a Hall of Fame quarterback who's already proven in college that he's arguably the best at his position and already a champion, a winner? I love Sam, but he didn't win in college. It's not like he was ever in the championship game? Was he ever in the national championship? Was he ever in any of that stuff?
But I think Sam's...
This guy has been. He's a winner.
Yeah, I think Sam's floor is Matt Ryan.
That's not terrible.
Right.
Ryan
Super Bowl. I think his ceiling is like Tony Romo or Drew Brees.
Okay.
So
I mean, I'm just saying, what you ask yourself is, with Sam, is he enough if I get a ton of skill? With all this, with the package I get back for the number one pick, if I can get enough talent that Sam is good enough to take that talent and we can win a championship, then it's worth it. But if we feel like Sam still has enough of a flaw in him that we could be a team that maybe even just gets to a Super Bowl but can't win, Matt Ryan.
He's better than Jimmy G.
Is that something you think about? So do you then just go for the guy who's the bona fide Hall of Famer and try to build? This is not easy. We talk about it like it is, but it's going to be a very difficult decision if the Jets end up being in that conversation, and we all feel like it will be.
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, tonight we have Game 2 of the World Series. Dodgers, again, a favorite in this one. Minus 135, you want to put your money on them. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to play that game, though, boy. I'm looking at this because yesterday's game was 8-3.
Yeah.
I think the over-under was 7.5. I don't know why. I don't know why that popped up in my head. That sounds about right, though. Today's over-under for the game is 8. Am I not mistaken, right? Is it 8? And you've got Gonsolin going tonight, the rookie for the Dodgers. He just pitched in Game 7. You can't imagine they're going to get a ton of innings out of him. Even when they do, I mean, he has had some issues. Although he pitched okay in Game 7, but he has given up runs. And Blake Snell has been okay, but not great. The Yankees actually smacked him around a little bit.
Morton's been their best pitcher.
Yeah, I think Morton's going to be. Is it such a difference maker?
This one's so much more important, though.
The Rays have got to get this game
because remember this is the last time the Yankees. This is when the Yankees try to get cute, though.
Yeah,
remember the Yankees try to get cute like this, right?
So
if they go in with a young kid that they plan to get the bullpen in, you're expecting that every pitcher that you bring in is going to be on that day.
Don't bring me back to that place, man. You'll get me.
They
gave away a series in game two by getting cute. Yeah. Right, anyways, so based on this, I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over here in runs because it's going to be a bullpen game. The Dodgers offense yesterday showed you something. I mean, they weren't just all or nothing home run style. They were putting runners on. And the Rays, by the way, had runners on yesterday. They had some activity. They had some action.
That seventh inning, man, where you talk about pivotal with two on. You know, they look like they were trying to change that momentum.
Yeah.
Hit that line shot with him, turned into a double play. That's when you're living
right. What a play.
That's when you're living right. And, I mean, Kershaw, remember how the Braves.
If only the Mets could find a guy like Justin Turner, man, you know?
Yeah, man, that would be a perfect fit for them.
If only they could find. Never mind.
I've seen that carrot top before.
That's funny.
All right, so that'll be tonight. So we'll take the over. We'll see how we do on that. Tomorrow we start week seven. Week seven already in the NFL. And the Thursday night game is the Eagles and the Giants. We'll spend a lot of time breaking that game. This is a huge game. The NFC East is a joke, but that's actually a really big game for Joe Judge, the fighting Joe Judges. See, you don't need to call them the Giants. The New York Football Club, and they are the fighting Joe Judges. And that's what they are. And so we'll spend a lot of time talking about that, and we'll give you a pick on that and maybe even do a daily fantasy tomorrow. But our over tonight is over. The 8 is the over-under. We'll take the over for Rays and Dodgers tonight. Let's get some calls to finish out the show, 800-919-3776. Ira's in Staten Island. Hey, Ira.
Hey, what's happening, Alan? What's happening, Bart? You know, everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence, and I get it. You know, it's a sexy thing to talk about, and what's going to happen with but the bottom line here is the first thing that has to be done is you got to bring in the right head coach and the right staff and reshuffle the way this organization is set up. Because until that gets done, or if Douglas doesn't make the right hire and brings in another coach that's not going to get this turned around, then it does not going to matter if we draft Trevor Lawrence. Because guess what? This organization will ruin him too. Quarterbacks can come in and out of here. The most important thing, whether we get the number one pick or not, is get a head coach, because a football team can't operate without a head coach, and they have to get the right guy. I don't know who it is, if it's a college guy, a coordinator, a position coach, but they have to get somebody who's a leader of men. I don't know exactly what I'm talking about. You get a leader in here, and that's the first step. After that, then we can start talking about quarterback, Sam, Trevor, whatever you're going to do.
Thanks, Ira. I mean, I'm telling you, the coach is going to matter most right out of the gate. It's the very first thing that I think is going to matter. Jose's in Manhattan. Jose.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hope everybody's healthy and safe. As far as Trevor Lawrence, I think they should be more concerned about how many picks they can get for Sam Darnold.
That'd be none.
None? You think? You don't think
the fact that the Jets are trying to figure out if he's a franchise quarterback, and that means that answer hasn't been answered yet. And that means that in 2 years, you got to make a decision, you know, one, to pick up his option, but you're going to have to pay him after 5 years because he'll be an unrestricted free agent. So if you're picking him up as a team, you have to be convinced that he's already a franchise quarterback, or you're wasting your time because he's going to have to be paid or franchised in less than 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is supposedly the sure thing.
Yeah, so
the Jets never seem to pick a sure thing, guys, as you know.
So was DeMarcus Russell and a lot of other guys. We can say that about a lot of people until they put the uniforms on.
Hey, can I read you a quote here before we call it a day?
Yes, sir.
Out of Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't think COVID-19 is going to, quote, enter his body. Why? It's a mutual respect.
Because he got all that...
bless your heart.
He got all that bleach from his dye in his
give
hair.
Give him the gas face. There.
Odell's trying to be funny and cute here, but
yeah.
That is such an Odell.
Those are usually last words before he...
Odell. You're so Odell. You really are. So, all right, quickly, what do you think of this trade? My friend Brian Reichert has this trade. Ready? You ready for this?
Yep.
The Jets get Calvin Ridley. They get 21 and 22 firsts. And you draft Jamar Chase with Atlanta's pick if Atlanta is third. Would you do that?
Mm.
You think that's enough?
Calvin Ridley.
Ridley?
Nah, that no. Calvin Ridley's not enough for me, man.
Don't like that. Sorry, Brian.
He's not as dynamic,
Shut down. That's a shame.
The Jets should have took my advice and took Chase Claypool.
All right. Well, we'll have more to talk about tomorrow, including football week 7. Bart, great job. See you tomorrow.
Holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.